Acts 3:19 says this, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." That times of refreshing, in other words, nothing happens in the kingdom by accident. Nothing happens at random times. God has times of refreshing that He releases things. He has times of attention that He releases things. And I believe we're in a time of refreshing, because that word refreshing can also mean just a replenishment, but it also means revival. A time of revival. Just setting a stage with that, because on Tuesday, that was a really, I think it was a significant service, because I believe it was an announcement. It's a moment when something's changed in the spirit, and we need to be tuned into it. When He starts moving in a time, in a season, we need to move in with Him and begin to be aware with Him. Amen? So, on Tuesday, during the prayer, there was some portion of that time where I felt the Lord just come and He just stood into me. It was an amazing thing. And I was really undone by that for a little while. And then the next thing I know is that we're approaching this huge wall. And as we approached this wall, then I began to see a portion of it just opened up, and there were gates. And they began to open up and open outward. The gates came outward. So as these gates came open, I looked at the gate, and the gate was, it was pearl. It was incredibly beautiful. But it was huge. It was way tall and thick. The most important thing was I noticed then immediately inside the gate was this huge fountain. And out of the fountain was coming up this flow of like electric light. It was like living light that was flowing up. It was kind of golden, flowing up and shooting up into the air several times my height. And it was flowing over the sides of the fountain, and it was running out as a river out the gate. I believe that gate and that river, I believe that was an announcement for this day and time, that there's an outpouring that is happening. Outpouring has begun. I do remember that this flow, this fountain, I knew, and I didn't see it, but I knew its source was under the throne. It was coming from the throne into this fountain, coming up, splashing all over the place, and then just flowing out like a river. And I believe that was just basically what it was shifting into. That was the same time, that was the first service since we shifted into the new year. The first Tuesday service. So we 5, 7, 8, 4. 5 for grace. 7 for completion. 8 for mouth or declaration. Mouth, a declaration. Then the 4 is the door or the gate. So it's a season for the completion of the declaration as you stand in the gate. As you stand in the gate, you make your proclamation, you make your declaration, and you release it, and God is going to bring the completion out of His strength. That's His heart for this season. His heart for you as individuals. We said that 8 was declaration. It's the decade of the mouth, the declaration. It's also time to unleash your voice. To unlock your voice. It's a time, see, sometimes we've been shut down. We've been had things been pushed down and shoved back. And it's time to unlock the voice in this nation. Unlock the voice of the Christian. Unlock the voice of the prophet. Unlock the voice of the believer. Unlock the voice and start declaring the way of the Lord. Start declaring the day of the Lord. And start declaring the purpose of the Lord into the situation. Unlock our voice, expecting to see a difference, expecting to see the triumph of God flow out of it. Because why? We're in the season of completion still. So all of it comes together on your behalf. Amen? So I just see that all that being related to Tuesday. I've been in a season here personally where eliminating distractions and just seeing the hunger come forward. And out of that hunger, see, sometimes we do things we don't always do. I wound up going to this little house. Supposedly some people coming from Arizona, and they were ministering here, and they'd been seeing a sustained revival. So I wanted to go find out what was happening. So I went. And what I saw kind of saddened me. Okay? But at the same time, I will say there was a great atmosphere, but not much understanding. They were in a situation where let me say this correctly because I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I absolutely, totally believe in repentance. If there's sin in your life, you better get with the repentance. If there's sin in their life, if there's something you know that isn't lining up with God, get with repentance. But what I saw here was their idea of moving in revival was simply to move from one place of repentance to another place of repentance. To another place of repentance. And there's only so much that you can do in your own strength. Do we play a part? Absolutely. We've got to surrender ourselves. We should surrender ourselves and have an honest conversation with the Lord. But if my whole salvation, if my revival is based on my works, it's not a revival. If my revival is based on what I can do in my own strength, we're all in trouble. But I can tell you when we step in and step into the things that we're learning here, we're learning something that's going to shift and change the way Christianity is shaped. Because see, recognizing sin and then repenting for it is a good thing. But there's another step after that, which is you got to come into the love. You got to come into the acceptance. You got to meet Christ face to face. You got to come into an interface with Him, because it's in the interface with Him that we can actually change. Amen. It's in the interface that we have with Him. Let me say it this way. I can see certain things in my own life, and I can repent for those things. But I guarantee you, if I started asking, especially Kim, or other people who know me, they can see other things in my life. So Kim and my mom probably have a whole list of things that they can see. Okay? And we're not going into those things today, fortunately. But the deal is that God has things that are in His heart for me. But it means I just have to present myself. I have to present myself freely. Go with me to John 14. It's John 14. I want to point out something to you. You've probably read this many, many times. Let me say this. There is a work to the kingdom. I believe thoroughly in the act of faith. I believe thoroughly in standing in faith. But you know what? When your faith requires a work to go with it. Your faith requires an effort to go with it, like Pastor was saying earlier. Because when I stand in faith, that means there's going to be an action that follows faith. If I'm going to stand in expectation of meeting God, that means I need to sit myself down and start interfacing. There's no shortcut. This is right here, John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. And receive you. This is my favorite entering in scripture right here. I will receive you. Who's doing the action? He is. Jesus is saying, I'm going to do the action. I'm going to receive you into my place. I'm going to receive you myself, that where I am, there you may be also. if you watch me pray and you enter in, you're going to find out that I'm going like, I'm in you, Lord. You're in me. I'm in you. You're in me. And just one or two of those, and bam, we're right there. You don't have to make it hard. You don't have to make it complicated. Make it about love. Make it about His acceptance. He said He would receive me. And you know the way where I'm going. And Thomas, like some of us said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? Thomas was kind of literal. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. See right there, no six little verses. That's all you need to enter in right there. You can enter in with just that. Because why? Because you're being received into Him. You know what? What was my qualification? What was my qualification? What did I have to do? Believe. Believe. That's it. If you'll believe, you step in. If you'll believe, you step in. You know, sometimes that's the hard part. I can believe it for Cody. I can believe it for Tim. But believing it for me, because I know what I do. I know you. I can believe it for somebody else some days better than I can believe it for myself. But when you start entering in, start realizing I don't have any need of any other qualification but just to enter by faith. Stand in faith. That's my qualification. It didn't say I had to be holy. It didn't say I had to be perfect. It didn't say I had to be good. I didn't say I had to be anything. It said just believe on the Father and on the Son. Believe and step in. Believe and just be received. Now that means that whatever it was that I was involved in a minute ago, if I'll just bring it to the Father, He's going to accept me. And when He comes and accepts me, I'm drawn into Him. And guess what? Whatever's on His mind, He can get His point across to you in love. He can get His point across to you in a way of still leaving you feeling accepted and valued and be right there. So if I'm in a continuous season of repentance, what that really actually does is causes you to feel worse and worse and worse because I'm looking at the problem instead of the solution. But when I step in with my Father, when I step in with the Son, I'm now stepping in and I'm looking and being presented in front of the solution continually day and night. On a daily basis, I try, as I put my head to the pillow, I try to like, Lord, if there's something you need to teach me in the light season. I sleep like a baby. Sometimes I wake up, though, with song in my heart. I wake up with rejoicing in my heart. Because why? Because He was teaching me something in the night season. I didn't even have to work for it. I just had to believe for it. I mentioned that revival place that I went to for this reason. I wanted to share with them some of these things. Obviously, you don't want to just walk into somebody else's house and start. So that didn't happen. But the thing, so many things rose up in my spirit. So many things rose up in my spirit because it was obvious they had a hunger for God that was legitimate. They had a desire for the things of God that was legitimate. It was admirable what they were attempting to do. But I also know that I could write the script for them on what their next 10 years are going to look like doing what they're doing. See, we have to come in with Him. And as we come in with Him, then in that place we're prepared, in that place we're cleansed, in that place we're made whole. The more we come in, I have to realize it's not my qualification that mattered. Our destination must be to know the love, to be affected by the love. You know, selfishness and carnality, they don't stand up very long to love. When I start entering into love, selfishness and carnality are going to fall off. The very thing that the Jews were trying to do by law happens simply because I pursue love. You know, it's so much easier to die to self when we're in love. I remember those early days when I was dating Kim, and I would do anything for Kim. If she said this, and I determined that if I change this would go and get me close. Done. Wasn't even a thought. It's just done. We'll do things for love that we can never force ourselves to do otherwise. When we enter in, it's by what? Believing, which is faith. Faith. Faith reminds me of that commercial. Nada, yada, yada. Nada, yada, yada. Because we don't need everything else. I just need faith. I need to stand in what I'm believing. Let's go to Genesis 32. Verse 1, I just want to read to speed here. Jacob is on his journey. He's actually on his way back. He's been all the way. He's won his wives. He's won two wives. And he's on his way back with all the goods, all the cattle, all the sheep. He's on his, and all of this has been basically removed from Laban and given to him supernaturally. On his way there, on his way over to Laban's place, he encountered God at Luz, which he named Bethel. And then he basically, in that moment, he saw the Lord. He saw these angels ascending and descending on the ladder. The Lord gave him a promise. In that promise, among other things, was this promise. I'm going to return you to the land of your fathers. I'm going to return you right here. And then we see in Genesis 31 that he, once again, he says, okay, it's time for you to leave Laban's and it's time for you to go back to where? The land of your father. So twice the Lord has given him this word. What are we supposed to do with the word? Keep it. Hold it. Understand it. Speak it, yes. As we learn these things, as we hold these things. But see, in this we see real quickly that some supernatural things were happening in his life, because 32 verse 1 says this. Now as Jacob went on his way, the angels of God met him. And it doesn't say anything else. It just goes on like that was never even there. Like as in everybody meets an angel on their way. We're just going to Walmart and we'll stop by and meet the angel on the way. If we met angels on the way, we would probably be taking out billboards. This is a footnote. An angel on the way. Supernatural is happening all around his life. And it's commonplace to him. For 21 years, he's lived in the supernatural of God. Because he stepped through the gate that was presented to him when that happened. When the ladder came down. He stepped through a gate. He stepped into a promise. He stepped into a purpose. He stepped into who he was. No longer who he had been. And see, all that has happened. And remember, he even got renamed. He was no longer the supplanter. But he was a prince with God. So we get down to verse 7. Because Esau is coming. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. All this supernatural has been going on in his life, and he was afraid and distressed. God had given him a promise. It's kind of like when Jesus said, hey, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. Guess what's going to happen? We're going to the other side. God told him, hey, you're going back to the land of your fathers. He wasn't there yet. He had to stand in his word. And so he devises a plan, a man to send all these, divide up into two companies and send his people out in front of him. And he has another meeting with the Lord. But he says this in that moment, verse 9. And Jacob said, as he began to pray, Jacob said, oh God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac. What's missing? My God. Get an aid right there, Renee. My God. He's depending upon the God of his father. Guess what? With all that supernatural that was happening around his life, he had never come to that place of intimacy yet with God. Which is why he allowed fear. We have to come into the intimacy. And the Lord who did say to me, look at what he's repeating here. He said, you're the Lord who said to me, return to your country and your relatives and I will prosper you. He's repeating what he was told in the midst of his fear. And then 10, here's why. I am unworthy. I'm unworthy. Unworthiness will stop you from receiving the inheritance that God had planned for you. Unworthiness will keep you from perceiving the totality of His truth. Unworthiness will keep you from engaging with what God has already set up and ordained. Unworthiness will keep you at bay and keep you at arm's length because unworthiness creates separation, which is an illusion. Unworthiness is unbelief. Because I can't believe what God says about me and be unworthy. So I have to stand. I have to choose. Am I going to believe my emotions? Am I going to believe my past? Or am I going to believe God? Because if there's some unworthiness somewhere, some little grain of unworthiness, it's a grain of unbelief. And it doesn't add up and it doesn't bring me to where God is wanting me to go. It will keep me from receiving what God has already said I can freely have. I can choose something besides unworthiness. I can choose to stand up in the promise. I can choose to recognize my inheritance. And yes, if there's a place to clap, that's the place to clap. Because I can stand in that inheritance any moment and any day, every day, when I choose to. And that's what I wanted to tell the people that they were so earnestly seeking God, is that the open heaven is you. Say it with me. I am the open heaven. It's what He's already ordained. It's who He created you to be. When I begin to realize I don't have to qualify for myself, I just have to allow it by faith. And when I allow Him to do it in me by faith, I can step in wholeness. I can step in wellness. And I can step in and receive what He already consists or put out there for me. Glory. It's His desire to change us at the very core. See, unworthiness is one of those, that's probably going to be the first, when you start trying to enter in, that's going to be the first guy you're going to have to take down. Yeah, but you can take him down. I know no one wants me to stand in front of him now. You can take him down simply by standing in faith. Simply by recognizing, Lord, I'm not all that, but I am accepted. And the beloved. In my natural self, I may have been horrible a minute ago. in my natural self, I might have been a stinker a minute ago. But you know what? God, I choose to come freely to you. And I found in my life, when I'll bring it to God and say, Lord, here it is. I'm not hiding it from you. I'm just using it as, I'm going to use it as my vehicle to go in. It becomes my vehicle to go in. It becomes my excuse to take a moment and introduce myself to the Lord. Because what? He's more interested in visiting with me than he is worried about whatever that was. He wants to commune with you. If you don't get anything else out of this, I want you to understand that you have an instant access with him any time you want. On purpose, because I stood in faith and I come into agreement with what he's saying about me. Religion wants to paint a whole different picture. Religion wants you to actually slave for it until something happens, maybe. I don't think that we need to do that. We need to recognize that God has me on his heart. God has you on his heart. God has this thing about loving you that just won't leave his mind. And whenever we got something in our mind, we draw it to us. So he's got loving you on his mind. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's remember our promise. Let's remember our word. Let's stand in our word. You know that picture of wrestling with the angel? It's very dramatic. And we think about Jacob in superhuman terms because he wrestled with an angel and won. Hosea 12 verse 4 tells us that God strengthened them to do that. What's that tell us? Even in the moment when we don't know what we're doing, even in the moment when we're contesting with the very one we should be giving into, God will strengthen us. He'll put himself and add himself to us. Why? Because he's far more interested in us than we are. Zechariah 3. So I'm going to summarize the first part. So Joshua, the high priest, is standing there with the Lord, and they're standing there before Satan, and Satan is trying to make an accusation. Satan's making an accusation, and the Lord says, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord says, the Lord rebuke you. Well, guess what? The one who's saying, the Lord rebuke you, to Satan, shutting him down, is the one who was supposed to be receiving the accusation. He was supposed to be the judge. Instead, he stands there as your advocate. He stands there as your friend. He stands there as your Messiah. That shifts everything. He's not in the business to receive the enemy's accusation. You know, we would do well if we always go to the Lord with whatever when we hear an accusation. Amen. So he presented his case to your protector. And then what happens? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. If you read it in the actual original Hebrew text, why, basically, it's like he's standing there in a dirty diaper. It's that nasty. But here, think about this. Joshua was the high priest. He was the best of the best that Israel had to offer. And yet, all of what man can do still looks to God like that. But guess what? He has a final say. He says here, remove the filthy garment from him. And he said to him, see, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with festal robes. There's a dual action to grace. Dual action to grace. Grace removes the iniquity. It removes the iniquity. But it also clothes you in the new man. It clothes you in a new creation. It clothes you in who you are going to be. Not who you were, but who you're about to be. And then we stand up. When he stood up in the court from that moment on, they put a turban upon him that basically said, this is our high priest. They re-anointed him for his office and his place. Because the act of grace removed the filth, removed the iniquity, removed the sin. And he didn't let him stay there. He could have just been standing there naked with nothing else. He said, no, let me cover you. Let me cover you with my word. Let me cover you with my love. Let me cover you with my grace. Let me cover you with who I am. And restore your place. Dual action of grace. And guess what? Hebrews 10:14 says we're forever perfected. Yes, there was a grace. John 1:14. Grace. Grace upon grace. The dual action. Grace upon grace that we receive. It's his heart and his position. Because guess what? When this has happened in verse 7, it says, if you walk in my ways, you perform my service, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts. And I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. How many want to just go have free access to the courtroom of God? How many think your situation might change if you stand in the courtroom of God and start releasing from the courtroom of God back into your situation? If you let the courtroom of God speak to your situation, it's going to be a whole lot different result. I don't have time for all those stories, but I can tell you I have done that with my situations with my son, and I've stood in the courtroom of God and released truth that the natural courts wouldn't ordinarily do. But God does. But God does. Know that this is your position. This is who you are. When we know our value, when we know our place, we can get established quickly. Glory. Glory. Amen. Amen.